Professor Hankov.
We've just started the talk of the workshop. It's more or less the goals of both of them. I think in my talk I try to put a bit of more introduction. Well, this double mass measurement technology is an extreme challenge, and how the work of everyone, of not only experiments but also the fields, is required to get it done. So of course, there is no need to really introduce why we want to measure the double mass for this audience, because okay, with this, with the Higgs mass known and the effective measurement of the top mass, the combination of the three top Higgs and the W provides a very accurate closure of the standard model, and if the deviations that could be a hint of the physics. So now, so what is the status and current status of the W mass measurement? So first of all, for quite a while we had the most accurate results, which is coming from lab. More or less clear why it was good. So it's a very clean environment, so it plus and minus very well understood the initial state. So relatively simple theory. Then we of course got quite high statistic samples from Tevatron, CBF and B0. Initially these were not very accurate, but eventually the detectors got calibrated and paper samples got increased. And at the end we are dominated by the Tevatron measurement, which is has 16 mm accuracy. So combined with lab, it improves slightly, so we have a 15 mm for the world mass measurement. And okay, so this is first of all remarkable that relatively difficult environment in Tevatron, yet we can measure things very precisely. So that's actually a big hope that at the LHC we can do even better. But of course, the target is set very high, so we have to contribute in an interesting way. One should measure to accuracy which is exceeding the 16 mm, and I would say the first target should be something like 10 mm. Okay, so just a very brief introduction why it's in principle doable and why it's extremely difficult on the other hand. So first of all, we have huge samples, the cross sections are very high at LHC, so we have huge samples of W and Z. And in particular, Z is important because this is very close to W, and so we can use it for calibration in a much more efficient way compared to Tevatron. And also we can perform a number of cross-checks, I will talk about one. So I would also argue that, in fact, Atlas and CMS are better detectors compared to D0 and CDF. I hope people will not be angry about that. So, and in fact, we understand them extremely well from the very beginning. So we have detailed material maps, magnetic field maps, alignments, everything is basically there. Okay, and quite important also that we have a very large coverage and rapidity, so we can measure leptons at large angles. We can essentially measure the pool production of double bosons. So this is all plus, and hopefully it will work out. But there are quite a few additional challenges which we have to face. So, okay, so first of all, if we talk about Tevatron, then W plus and minus are essentially just the same because we have PP bar. But the LHC is really quite different, so they are not the same, and we have different production decay properties. We'll spend some time talking about that. So I said that Z is a very nice sample to perform calibration. On the other hand, it's not exactly W sample. In particular, because we have different quark flavors in contribution to the reproduction. And this will play quite important role. Also, electrolytic properties are, of course, different, so these polarized quite differently. So this will also be important. And finally, there's a slight difference in the scale, so this may also affect the PCB effects. So electronic corrections are different, PDFs are different, and the slight differences.
Don't you have a lot more pileup than at the Tevatron too? There might be an issue with
yes.
Energy.
It's experimental, there's much more pileup. And indeed, for missing energy measurement, it's an issue, it's a difficult issue. But for measurement, okay, I'll come to that in a moment. Just okay, so yeah, so okay, actually, I come to that straight away because the key observable would be the distribution of the lepton PT from the double decay and compared to transverse mass for tevatron. And therefore, we have to understand the W production and decay extremely well. So that means W transverse momentum and W polarization as a angular distribution to this final state lepton lepton. And so, yeah, so all these three items must be, so the modeling must be perfect, and yeah, so the statement is the only way to measure W mass at LHC, so we need some theoretical model which takes into account essentially all aspects of the production, and still it must be calibrated to the auxiliary measurements which can be performed at LHC. I will talk about both. Okay, so the fact that the part on the measurement of the W mass would be unfortunately very short in this talk because there is no measurement yet. So, but I will just give you main ideas and extremely interesting recent results from CMS on the Z mass measurement. So, how do we measure MW at LHC? So, the main observables are PT of the lepton, missing energy, and transverse mass. So what I show here are actually distributions which are from the very early data, so this is 2010 data still. And just to highlight that we understood the detector extremely well already at the very beginning, so very nicely between data and Monte Carlo. And now this it stays more or less the same with much higher aspect samples for doubles. Okay, so what are the methods to determine the mass? So the most precise one is from the Jacobian peak of the lepton VT. So essentially, right, to feed the point gauge of the distribution, which is roughly corresponding to half of the W mass. And it's essentially what is done, we reproduce templates of this distribution with various masses, and we scan these templates, and then we find the best which matches the data distribution. Okay, so this is most accurate experimentally, very much robust to the pile up, but it's most prone to the modeling issues. This is where we need help from theory. What I should say, this is actually the type of measurement could be easily done with round two. Because we have single lepton triggers, we can measure this all statistics without any losses. At least Atlas and the Leaf CMS can do that as well.
How low is the trigger in Atlas?
25 for electrons, 23 for muons. So this is what means we. The heats are normally done in the 35 to 55 range. So this is quite far away from the physics. That's not for free, of course. This is like 100 hertz in Atlas, which we have to take and store, and actually this space is expensive. The most expensive is this space. And then, of course, we have to have tools to analyze all these huge volumes of data. This is not free, but it's possible. Okay, so next one is missing energy. So just plain missing energy has no advantages apart from the different systematics. And so we of course have to understand hadronic recoil, and indeed it becomes harder and harder with higher pile-up. So tools are developed to avoid pile-up dependence. For example, if you look at this recent CMS result of the Z-mass, the idea is to do hadron recoil using tracks only. So in this case, you this is essentially not sensitive to pile-up, but then you lose, this resolution is reduced. Okay, the final one is the transverse mass, so it requires missing PT, but on the other hand, the advantage is it's least prone to the modeling issues. So this is something which is, doesn't require so accurate measurement, modeling of the WPT. What's nice is with, since we have this huge data, have and will have huge data samples, we can try to bean our data as much as possible. Of course, it's independent measurement for W plus and W minus, so cross check its agreement between the two. But one can also bean lepton eta, and this PDF is a very different lepton eta, and so on. Okay, so very recently we had a hint that CMS is new to release something related to SOC. And this is so report on the sort of proof of principle MZ measurements using techniques which are then will be applied for the WMS measurement. So essentially, in V, of course, you have two leptons, and in principle, you can just use both and measure mass nicely. This is, one can even think about trying to compete with LEP. I believe it's 2 MeV at LEP, so it will be quite hard to do, but it's possible. Some people think about it. But okay, here the main idea is to essentially emulate what one would do with the double mass measurement. So you can more or less randomly remove one of the two leptons and see. What happens if you can reconstruct and pull it neatly? So this is missing energy, and then we measure moving just one or two leptons. So calibration in this case, you cannot use Z for the calibration, so you use psi, which is sort of like Dilatron does. And on purpose, this is a limited sample, only 200,000 events used. It's not complete. It's even 70 samples, so it's just a 2 exercise. And okay, so the result is shown here. So you have different methods, VT, MT, and ECPT, so they're different. So interestingly enough, precision is actually relatively similar for the different methods. I mean, of course, the modeling issues are not, this is not studied, it's just experimental stuff which is studied here. And so at the end, you get something which is consistent with the lab result. And what's remarkable, I find, that in this particular analysis, the leading systematic cessation comes from the 2D radiation. But I think this is the problem of power and electrolyte and low, because this is just this is what...
So I should probably comment on that. I was one of the reviewers of this result, CMS. I think you should view the QED radiation uncertainty here as a placeholder for a better recipe. They just turn on and off NLO electroweak and go in.
Yes.
But of course, people who compute these corrections, I'm sure they could come up with a better recipe than that. So rather than hold up the result to wait for some kind of consensus to emerge on how to do that, they simply chose to make it a big systematic.
Just to comment, since you're talking about this early MEV, so you could just take the full Kohat and the Royal Electric QCD calculation, use that, and compare with including beyond order alpha photon, and that gives you an uncertainty that is just coming from order alpha squared. So it's much smaller. Okay. I mean, here you just we know the NLO electron, you don't have to switch it off. It's not a systematic uncertainty. It's there. We know the tool is there.
Okay.
So if you're now talking about systematic uncertainties, I would look into the beyond order alpha S,
exactly.
And all these little details, which are important still,
yes.
But they're not certainly not
certainly. Yeah, so I mean, they didn't really want to have those issues in this particular result because they were more interested in demonstrating our
kind of uncertainty
and so on. So this was kind of a dodge. I mean, it's probably, ultimately, without too much work, you could probably get a fraction of that.
Okay, true would be, I know that Atlas has some issues with but we can discuss.
That's great. We can talk about this here. So not that they have problems, but we can solve it. I think.
Okay, but that's yes. So this is exactly for this workshop for discussion.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So let's continue. All right. So just now back to the theory modeling.
So this is all about experimental results, because we are not yet there.
The main results, auxiliary count. Okay, so just back to the theory, why W plus and W minus are different. Okay, the obvious difference is PDFs. And this is just a simple leading order PDF decomposition of the W plus and W minus production. And this is a function of the rapidity of the boson. And you immediately see that the shape is very different. And you have these humps for W plus from U valence quarks, which is since D valence is smaller, it's not so humpy for W minus. So the point is that these are two different objects altogether. And okay, so D valence is less known, so W minus will be potentially more problematic. So sometimes you look at the theory papers and you see that W minus based PDF uncertainty is better than W plus. For example, in the which is surprised, I don't understand this. Whatever other studies normally show W minus has larger uncertainty, essentially because of the difference.
How big an uncertainty is there from PDFs?
I'll come to that. So it sort of depends.
I'll come to that.
So this is part, first, is it, okay, this is part of the problem. The second part of the problem that why W plus and W minus are different is we don't measure W rapidity, we measure left and center rapidity. And given that the W is, okay, so it's produced by, so if we forget about second generation, then it will be sort of a mix of the C and valence quarks. And the valence, and from the valence quarks, you will get the polarization of the W. So if you remember the direction of the valence quark. And moreover, for W conductors, this is essentially complete polarization. That means it will be sort of flipping the direction of the, in the decay of the W, it will be flipping the. As you go from W plus to W minus, you would have to flip the electron and lepton and neutrino, and therefore the lepton will be reconstructed more forward or more central, depending on the W produced. And then if you cut on the lepton to be reconstructed in the central detector, you also get quite different W rapidity which you probe. An extra feature which you have to follow. And so that therefore you have to model the W. So the polarization still depends on the amount of the valence quark production. If there would be no valence quarks, there would be no preferred direction, and it would be just zero polarization region out to zero along the W, along the Z direction. So this, I talked about the transverse polarization, that's the longitudinal polarization. So now, on the right hand, there are of course valence quarks, and therefore you have transverse polarization, and you have to understand valence to C quark ratio extremely precisely to understand this. And of course, we talked about of x values of 10 to the minus 2 roughly for the central production, so you have to understand valence quarks at the lower x where it's not measured so precisely. I will come to the how to measure. Okay, so all right. So that was PDF decomposition for the rapidity, for the lepton pseudo rapidity. But of course, we have to understand the PT of the produced W as well. And this again also depends on the flavor structure of the production. This is a study performed by Atlas using Qt as a tool to perform these studies. And so what you see here is WPT is predicted by Qt, and you see so using the scale elements of the pickup production. Yes. This is
isn't this a program by Bechter?
Yeah, so it's resummation by Becker et al. For log T matched to fixed order.
Exactly.
So
this is
fixed order with
and this one was still a log fixed order.
Does it keep W spin?
Yes. This actually comes to our own mix of MCFM plus Q. That keeps the W spin. This was an exercise which we performed in our class. I mean,
what's plotted on the left?
So on the left, what's plotted is the BT of the W plus.
Yeah.
And this is, so as you pick up from various production mechanisms, from the left parts, UD.
Yeah, but it says re-weighting function, so that's not a PT distribution, clearly.
Yes, this is okay. This is a re-weighting function which is applied to MCFM to meaning this PT shapeless functions.
This means that when you get to zero PT, you weight them to zero?
Yeah, you got zero. You produce zero. Yeah, this is a PT, full PT distribution, so it's something like that. So you have a peak at something like 10.
Yeah.
And it goes to zero at zero. Yeah, so this is a, okay, maybe it's too fast. So indeed, so we take MCFM, which is divergent at zero. And then we regularize it by hand by re-weighting it for using the two positions. So that way we keep polarization as given by N over MCFM, but we also have a realistic PT distribution. Okay. All right. Okay, so as I said, PDF decomposition is different W plus, W minus, and Z. So if we calibrate using PT or Z, we don't necessarily do proper PT distribution for W. You have to do some flavor transformation. And what is also, so if you look at, say, production CP, okay, this is smaller, of course, this is a bigger surprise. Nonetheless, it has the hardest spectrum for the PT. Compared to the light parts. So what's large is CS, and it's also really hard, the orange line. And if we talk about D production, then we also have various flavors, and it's quite sizable. DB is like 5%. CC is also roughly 5%. And what's again is quite interesting, so if we talk about D, both flavors are. If you do, yeah, so if it's heavy flavor, then both incoming quarks are heavy. Compared to W, which you have CS, which is so one light, one heavy. So this is quite different. So you can understand that in theory quite well how does it work. And what's also the final thing which is interesting, so if you do just a pure MCFM PDF uncertainty, you get quite small values, but then if you also include for the PT spectrum and quantification smaller you. But if you take into account also the different PT shape for different flavors, then you get a relatively larger band. So this is so the argument that it's not important to have different coherent PDFs and the Parton shower, but it actually doesn't work for the WPT. So you have to trace properly the Parton shower, the PDF, and to have a proper uncertainty from the PDF decomposition. This is, people often say this is, so we do matching of N over to Parton shower and we don't care what PDFs are in Parton shower. This is not true for the whole measurement.
So the reason you get different re-weighting factors for different quark flavors has to do with probably how steeply following their PDFs are, so how much space there's available to radiate transversely.
Yes. So the Q is X space program, so it goes to, so PDFs are taken at very low scales, and then you essentially, there is a PDF suppression for scales below, say for charm, there is essentially zero PDF for below the charm mass threshold. So this is how the suppression in Q appears.
So Qt has any both the transfer semantic summation and the threshold summation?
I'm not sure what actually it is.
I don't think it does, Dave. I think it's just PT. Just the PT.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But then it wouldn't get right the part about suppression because the Parton distributions are falling faster or slower. I don't think it would get any additional threshold logs that would affect the overall normalization, if that's what you're saying.
That you need the seal from the X and the photons to generate the boson PT.
And the derivative of the PDF with respect to Q squared gives you information about the PT.
Yeah.
So it does feed into the PT distribution in these programs.
yes, yes, yes. So this is purely from PDFs, this shape. There's no extra matrix elements. So,
yeah, otherwise they're just quarks. They have the same color. Yeah. So what else could it be, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on. Alright, so okay, so we use this merger of MCFM and Qt to, and also produce the toy PDF set in which we would just fit Hera data, it's like Hera PDF. And we also introduced, apart from just the standard experimental eigenvectors in this PDF set, we also have a dedicated variation for the strange density, so we set it to infinity as Atlas suggests, and then we vary it between Atlas measurement uncertainties. And this became the last eigenvector for this particular toy PDF set. And what you see, and then the idea is to study this heavy flavor effect, so how to do that, you can just essentially suppress them by setting VCS to zero. Remove all heavy flavors. And you see if you do that, then PDF uncertainties are quite a bit reduced, so it's actually sort of 3 or 6 maybe, but then if you include it, it goes to something about 10. But all the uncertainty actually appears from the uncertainty of the RS parameters, or the uncertainty on the amount of the strangeness in the protein. So you increase strange, you see S is increased, that's it. So it's quite straightforward. Okay, so this was the
second.
Hmm?
So RS is about a half.
Oh yeah, so CMS thinks RS is about a half.
No, I mean, the Juno experiment says
that. The Juno experiment says so. I will come to that as well. Okay. Yeah, by the way, So now the polarization. So, okay, again, we can try to study that by simple means. So we can MCFM to properly have W produced with string relations. And now we can try to see if we can just turn off some of the string relations and see what happens to PDFs. And so you can turn off fully, which is not quite correct, or you can just turn off the transverse polarization. And in this case, you still keep the. Okay, so this is. Yeah. So if you turn off everything, or you turn off transverse, you turn off the impact of the value space. Then you can look at what happens to PDFs. And this is W plus W minus, if we should have shown W minus, it fluctuates a bit more because of the divergence uncertainties. But what's also remarkable, the largest impact here is again coming from the strength density. So the way to understand that is if you have more strength, you have actually more C altogether. And then the valence to C ratio is modified. And this introduces you the less or more polarization of the W. But what's also interesting, this has rather opposite impact. So you have up-down variation in case of turn for the PT, and it's down-up for the polarization. So I actually don't know why. It could be just accidental. It's also a very simple model. It's just global suppression of the strange compared to deep. If it would be a different shape, it could be different. I'm running a little bit, actually. But okay, so. So how does it work? So we have a discussion during the talk, or?
Yeah, I think the next. Yeah. That's okay. This, I mean, you. I guess we're slightly behind schedule, but yeah, we're going to use up the hour. So I guess we're just a little bit behind here. Okay.
All right. So then, to summarize, based on the story. PDF set, so if you just turn on all effects and look at the PDF member variation of the W mass, and you see W plus is more accurate than the W minus, quite a bit, for almost factor of two. And then you get, if you combine the two measurements, you will get something from the order of uncertainty. And the strange is that the last one here still is not dominant anymore, but it's quite sizable. But as I said, it's a very simple model for the strange depression.
What is beam energy here again?
This is for 7 TZ. And if you look at our theory papers we did the same setup with the other PDFs. At that moment it was CT10 and then PDF 2.3. With NPDF you can actually get even more accurate values. CT10 is about the same. Okay. So this is already at the level where we want to be, and this is already at the level that one would feel slightly uncomfortable with the insulations and not fully understood effects. And also, the model MCFM from plus Q is, of course, not the perfect model. So we need to do something about that to understand all the details of the model. So what are the experimental means to control everything? So first of all, we need to understand the WPT, and the obvious candidate to do so is the ZPT measurement. That's the first step, and then we have to transform from ZPT to WPT. Okay, so this is one of the more simple experimental measurements, and which can be performed with actually very high accuracy. So here, this is done by both Atlas and CMS at both 7, 8 TV, and CMS even already has the first result at 13 TV, which I will show you. So in case of Atlas, it's always electron and muon channel. It provides a quite important cross-check that the two measurements are consistent. And at the end, it turns out that the experimental accuracy for electron and muon channel are roughly comparable. So you improve the uncertainties quite a bit by using both channels. So on the left-hand side, you actually can see the measurement of the ZPT with the 3TV data sample. And so this is for electron and muon channel, and then there is a chi-square for the combination, which takes into account all the systematic uncertainty. It's a perfect chi-square, sometimes a perfect chi-square, 43 over 43. And you see some still scatters up and down, systematic trends, but okay, this that you have systematic uncertainties. But what's also interesting, what we get at the end is actually in most of the cases statistics dominates.
If more data, if round two, we should be able to improve further this type of measurement. So at the moment we are statistics, so we get a 0.5% accuracy for PT less than 100 GV, and this can improve further.
So what's interesting, then you can compare that with some more known resummation programs, for example, SVSBOS, and sort of within uncertainties of SVSBOS, it works more or less okay-ish, although there are some issues at higher PT. Should say also that the W mass measurement targets low PT regions, so cuts with the set of PT of roughly 30 or so. To reduce higher order effects. Up to 13th, it was more or less okay, although it starts to deviate. But of course, if you would just take this uncertainty, it would not work for the double mass. You have to essentially shrink this uncertainty to the data uncertainty. So that's the way you can do the measurement. But the only way you have to do it is not only to include all this parameters which go to RISBOS, I don't know, intrinsic criteria, I don't remember what goes to RISBOS actually. But all these parameters, non-trivial parameters which are in, but also you have to calculate the proper PDF uncertainties. So at the moment it was not done really fully. So this is still to be done. But there are tools to do this, I think. As I said, this is very recent, and I'm very happy that I'm able to show that. So CMS managed to produce first the results based on the first intimidated differential Z distributions. So it's not only PT, but also rapidity, which is presented in the note. So I highlight the PT. So the trends and the features are roughly the same for this 13TV result compared to run one measurements, for example, if you look at views. So this is next and next leading order, and it shouldn't work at 15.0, of course, but it also always eliminates the high PT, which makes Gavin unhappy, you know, and his questions are PDS which go in, but this is a feature of views or PY in row, which is always slow. And yes, so with many more data which we will get this year, 2016, should be able to improve on the creativity. So there's no showstopper with the performance of the detectors. Looks so. Okay, the magnetism fixed, I
think.
I'm sorry? And this is 2.3. But the magnet is fixed, so it should be all the luminosity for CMS.
Yeah.
No problem to improve.
Are these plots flipped over with respect to the Resbo spot as to whether data is on the
spot?
In other words, I see that peak around 30, and I saw a dip in the Resbo's one. And data is always in the denominator. So actually, Resbo's goes the opposite direction from the others. Okay.
Okay. I guess I'll probably make sure in my talk that Morion is a comparison, the first comparison of this data is next to leading order Z plus check from Durham and Missouri.
For the high, relatively high PT region.
Yeah, 40 GV-ish.
Yeah. I was just curious because AMC at NLO and Tauheg have a shower resummation. Resbo's also has a resummation, but they're differing in opposite directions in the moderate PT region, it looks like.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Let's continue.
How much time do you think?
Okay, so it's just 7 slides.
Anyway, this
is how we continue. All right, so I can accelerate it. So, yeah, so what's nice with this high statistics samples, we can also not only measure at the Z-pole, but we also can extend the measurements and do a differential measurement. So I think what's quite important is the measurement which we perform now in the same batch, so of the mass distribution. So we started to measure actually from 12 GV, but because of the trigger, here we can measure low PT. But starting from 46, we can actually measure full range starting from zero.
So the PT of the brilliant pair.
And so just like one highlight. So actually, this easy and low power head tune was able to perform double mass measurement. And one of the tools for the double mass measurement. It's tuned for 7 TV PT measurement in the deep range. And actually, it also works very well for 8 TV, which indicates that 7 and 8 TV data are consistent with each other. Second, if you look at the low mass, it just doesn't work. So PV is quite heavily at low PT. And this is interesting. So I mean, why it's interesting to go off peak? So here the D quark is for Z production is more important than the U quark, which is just electric charge, and U quark is dominating here, and also charm is much more here compared to Z production. So it could be the flavor which is not done by Paulke properly, or could be something else. Well, for example, there are some gamma to electron pair production type of mechanism are higher there. This is included in the model, but one is to see. So, but the point is, so this is a hint that flavor composition in pocket is perhaps not perfect. So we have to look into that. And the other differential test one can do is, okay, so this again, this power path, it's tuned globally to measurement integrated in rapidity of the Z. So now we can try to look at the slices. And this we can do more accurately if we divide the given slice by a slice in the central rapidity less 0.4. And then when you can compare, the data is more accurate and this double ratio becomes a little more.
It seems it's more accurate.
But what you see that as you go to higher rapidity, actually you're already starting from 0.8 on the end of the power cap, and actually almost becomes the data. It's nothing, it's more than rapidity dependence of the PT distribution. So we have to deal with that somehow for the measurement. Have to introduce a complex way which we correct for this bias, not only globally, but also in the use of the time. Okay, so just a few remarks, probably I should speed up. We also can talk about PDFs later on. So this is how do we control variance class at the LHC, so the, for the range of 10 to the minus 2, so the main measurement would be the charge asymmetry, the same doubling production, but now you look at the sender rapidity and you compare positive and negative, and of course there is in the range of the central detector there is a large asymmetry which increases with sender rapidity because the credit for contribution becomes larger. And then you can plug in this data together with hair data, do analysis, and you see that indeed you may control a little bit better the PDFs in this X range. So this is the complete ATV measurement from, so this is not channel only, ATV measurement from CDF and CMS, sorry. There is no corresponding result from Atlas yet. So, but this is quite promising, so this is the way to go to think.
This is next to the remover.
The
comparison.
Yes.
You do next to the remover only, it's not going to work. You need those higher order corrections to,
yes,
to get this PDF to agree, even to the degree which it is agreed now. So this is next to the remover. It's much worse compared if you don't go there.
That's right. So all the fits here are performed at next to remover. So here, okay, but the resummation is not necessary on the other hand. So just playing next to leading order works quite okay for this cycle. So this is the variance works. All right, so one side remark, which is again quite interesting. So I said at some point that authorization, transfer authorization of double is very important and only double is not. But it's up to the fact that the model is proper. So the polarization of the boson can be also studied by looking at Z boson polarization and measurement of the polarization coefficients. So it's again result of CMS. So I simplify the paper. It's a complex analysis which not only measures cos theta star and coins of Rafael dependence, but also phi dependence. But if we just look at the cos theta, we can write it down as for spin one particle, it's the following decomposition. So what I was talking all the time, this is leading order A4. Of course, for Z, it's a totally different object. We will have a next talk on that. Compared to W, which is 3 unit, I mean, it's only PDFs for W. For Z, it's Weinberg angle. But of course, there is an A0 component, which is actually coming from the fact that it's not only QQ bar, but also QU production. And actually, NLO and NLO QCD works very well. So it's beautiful agreement between data and fuse for, not so beautiful, but relatively all right, at least for low PT. But if you look at the power hack, something going on here, and especially at zero, it's actually negative, which is not physical. So this is an issue of matched programs. Then you have NLO on one side, and then you match to Parton showers, you sometimes break actually NLO accuracy. So it's worse than NLO. This is,
It's just very difficult to tell from your lower two bins. You say Powhag disagrees, but I mean, how many sigma is it? I just can't even see. I mean, is it a big disagreement? Is it like a 1-2 sigma thing?
Yes.
It's a big disagreement because it's negative and it's not physical. It has to be positive.
That's for the first bin. And the second bin...
But that can be fixed by tuning this matching between the various Timothy cells. I mean, they could fiddle with it and make it work. It has to do with matching resummation and next living order together. It's possible to fix it, managing on the problem. I think it has been fixed recently.
It has been fixed indeed, but it's not fully. I mean, so you can adjust regions to match things better. But in general, if you do matching of resummation and parton shower and then raw, so sometimes you select the parton shower and you break the spin correlations. And if you do it in the wrong place, then you screw up. So this is extremely dangerous for coupling. That's what I have to say. And we need also precise measurement of matrices. Okay. Just final experimental comments on the stage density. So I already mentioned that from Neutrino experiments, it looks like that the stage density should be suppressed compared to G. And this would be sort of a ratio of SS over G, should be roughly half. Okay, to our surprise, if you look at the Atlas measurement, which is essentially from the rate of the from the cross section ratio of the W to G, you will actually see something which is much higher, it's about of 1. So I say it's from the cross section ratio, this is essentially the W production over Z production cross sections compared to next reading order predictions. And you see all the PDFs that are sort of in gray compared to this. Atlas data. So this is one source of information, second is the Z rapidity. And yeah, so this is where we stand here. So of course you can use other means to do so. So you can measure W plus charm. This is prone to many effects. So you have a parallelization, fragmentation problems. So it's more difficult, so not only experimentally, but also theoretically. Nonetheless, if we do so, we can. This is done by CMS and Atlas. And so here there is a bit of controversy, because Atlas, the best agreement is actually with this enhanced strangeness Atlas PDF set, compared to CMS, which actually prefers something which is with like CT10, and CT10 still enhanced, but relatively compared to Atlas, the best strangeness. So the final issue, which I have to say, the CT group, they actually looked at their codes and they found that, in fact, there was a problem and CT14 is going down compared to CT10. So it will be a bigger difference between all modern PDFs and the LSC, at least Atlas data. And I have to say CMS as well, because if you look at the W to Z cross-section ratio, all of them having this shape that the ratio is below the PDF predictions, including CMS as well. Okay, so let's finalize. So just two more remarks on round two expectations. Okay, so we will have larger samples and we can calibrate the detectors better. And so what impact on understanding of PDFs that this may have? There was a little benchmarking study in this PDF for OC community. And so some sample processes were selected and looked at. And so for example, if you look at the W charge asymmetry and then you measure it with the same accuracy, the blue band, as a ground one, and then you can compare how much you improve compared to just plain MMHD 2014. Some improvement. Green is actually conservative, so twice worse uncertainty. The green is the same uncertainty, and the orange is twice better compared to round one. And you see that, yeah, so it's actually twice worse already. It's taking the most, and then it's not so much improvement, but there is some improvement. Same story for the strangeness, which is now measured from plain ratio of the W to Z cross-section. So again, so if you measure to half a percent accuracy this quantity, you get to quite reasonable precision, which is more or less perhaps okay for even for the W method below 10 mm. And of course, okay, the first preliminary results which came from Atlas and CMS. So they are at the moment still at the, so this pessimistic scenario for worse compared to round one, but this will change. But okay, again, for example, W over Z ratio, this is all systematics, it's not significant, but again, below those predictions. And the very last remark is, so we first need to publish W as from round one, from 7 TV low by our conditions. But would it be interesting then afterwards to try to repeat this for round two? So I believe yes, but okay. So what are the arguments of we will have extremely large calibration samples, as I said, figures are there, so you can collect Z's and W's with no problem if we insist on doing that, of course. And the other issue is, okay, pileup is complicated, of course, so we probably would need to a dedicated low pileup run, which would be quite interesting, because we can also use that for sort of WPT measurement, which we all didn't cover in my talk, but we have some results on the WPT, which is, of course, cannot be accurate at low PT, but already some hints can be obtained. And finally, the quite interesting for modeling, you also go into different X range, if you go from 7 to 13. So if you look at the just Williams D or U quark to the C quark ratio, you see that it's actually reduced also by a factor of 4 roughly. That means polarization effects are totally different. So also from the physics modeling point of view, it's also quite interesting to attempt this measurement of the first degree. So that's it. So, as I said, this W is mass measurement is the most interesting, and it's the holy grail of the precision physics that we see. So we are getting closer to that. We see already some toy measurements from CMS hinting that this is coming soon. Okay, but we need, of course, an extremely nice theory, which I guess will be a challenge for theorists as well. Thank you.
Measure at 8 TV and 13 TV, the main interest is in the balance the C quark.
From what the point of view is. Yes.
Then you need enough data so with a good quality or low, even if you cannot take a special run, it will be okay.
So the left hand based measurement is can be done also in hyperbar. So, okay, hyperlap is not only triggering, not only lepton PT. Okay, so from lepton PT, kinematics is reconstructed regardless of the pile. But with higher pileup, you also get the higher background. So, this is. But still, it's doable. Now, if we have also a dedicated run, then we can do additional tests of the.
How much luminosity do you think you need?
How much luminosity do you need? This is under discussion. So we talk about 100 pico, from 100 picobands to
1 tetrabond. I think we better move on. I like people get very handy very much.